Wasn't that an awesome time? Oh, it's better. Wasn't that an awesome time of worship, eh? I thought that was wonderful. I'll tell you what, I love technology. Some of you will know that I love technology, won't you? Well, I got a PowerPoint this morning. This is my PowerPoint. It's a 13-amp, 2-gang socket. There's one very slight problem with it. Can anybody spot what the problem would be? It's not connected. Brilliant. Perfect. Now, if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, you are very much like this MK socket. You're not connected. You're not connected. And is that any good? I mean, I've got a ring main running round behind me here with plenty of amps in it, but this ain't connected. It's not a lot of good. That's what I'm going to do with that. It's rubbish. Can we have the other PowerPoint, please, Pete? Now, Bruce covered the first part of the series a week before last, and I thought he did a brilliant job on grace. That was excellent, wasn't it? I thought that was amazing. Well, I've got the second spot to do, the gospel and the growth. Now, the gospel, I just love the gospel. I think it's just amazing. And I guess you lot do as well, otherwise you probably wouldn't be here. I think it's just amazing. So, that's where we're at this morning. Now, I want to do just kind of an opening statement. Now, will this work? Let me see. Oh, yeah. Oh, technology. Wonderful. Right. The four G's. There's grace, there's great, there's gospel, and there's growth. And kind of all of them are encapsulated in Jesus. So that when metaphorically we get a stick of rock, i.e. the church, and snap it in half, we see the name of Jesus running right through it. And it don't matter where we snap it, we should see the name of Jesus running right through it. Yeah? Make sense? And it doesn't matter whether it's the Family Contact Centre, or Sycamore Tree, or Glue, or Tots, or Discovery Coffee, running through it, DNA-wise, there should be Jesus. Yeah? There should be Jesus. Because if it's not got Jesus running through it, what on earth are we doing it for? The reason that this church exists is Jesus. It don't exist for any other reason. There's no point. No point. The whole thing, Jesus. Are we all in agreement? Yes. Brilliant. Let's just see if I can get this to work. Oh. Gospel is good news. It's amazing news. I think it's brilliant. Now, I want us to look at something from a slightly different tack this morning. I want us to look at from the point of view, when Jesus died on the cross, the enemy thought that he'd achieved his goal. He really thought he'd cracked it. Because with Jesus out of the way, he would have free reign. He would have free reign in all the earth. He would have the authority in all the earth. Think about that for a second. Just close your eyes and visualize that. Jesus not on the scene. The enemy with total control and free reign of everybody's life on planet Earth. Just visualize that for a second. What would that look like? what would it look like? There'd be nobody to challenge him because he'd have the ultimate authority. And actually, for 2 days, the 2 days when Jesus was in that tomb, the gospel wouldn't have been written. There was no good news for 2 days. He was in the tomb. He was dead. That ain't good news. Yeah? For all of mankind, the consequences would be dire. Because there'd be an eternity of pain, an eternity of suffering, of anguish, of knowing that there was no end to it and there was no way out of it. That's the reality. But on the third day, the enemy was thwarted. Yes, Jesus was flogged. Yes, Jesus was beaten. Yes, he was nailed to a wooden cross. Yes, he died in agony. And yes, he was buried in a tomb, dead. But on the third day, he rose. On the third day, he rose. Is that good news? Is somebody going to shout, amen? Amen? Praise God. That's a little more like it. He's back. He still carries the wounds of the crucifixion and the flogging, but he's alive. Now, from the enemy's perspective, he's got just a slight problem. Because he's played his trump card, death. That's his trump card, death. But he's been out-trumped by life. You don't seem very excited about that. You really don't. I think, I get excited when I read this, and I wrote it. When he died on the cross, Jesus took with him all of our sin, and when he died, he paid the price. He paid the price, not just for you and me, but he paid the price for every single human being that there ever would be. He paid the price for all of that sin, all of that evil, all of that wickedness, everything that anybody would ever do wrong in the whole history of humanity. He paid the price for that. So on that basis, using that logic, there is no need for one single person ever to be consigned to hell. Does that follow through logically? By my reckoning, it does. So there's no need for anybody to go to hell, to be with the devil, and to be with his cohorts. There's every reason for hell to be empty. Well, bar one or two. Now, let me see. Are we up to speed with this or not? Yeah. But there is a slight problem in the sense that 2,000 years later, the enemy's defeated, he's beaten, but he's still kicking around. Now, many people don't believe in the devil, and you can see this by things like Halloween parties, you know, where you get kids dressed up in devil costumes and witches' costumes and all this sort of stuff. And kind of a worship of evil.
course it's all right to do that. Of course it's not real. Of course it's a fairy story. Well, actually, that's wrong. It is deadly serious. He is alive. Unfortunately, he is. And he's around. And you've only got to take one look at the news any day of the week to see what the devil's doing in this world. Now, what's he trying to do at the moment? Well, I'll tell you what he's trying to do. He's trying to take our focus off of Jesus. That's what he's trying to do. He doesn't want us to focus on Jesus. He doesn't want us to love Jesus. He doesn't want us to be loved by Jesus. He doesn't want to see healing. He doesn't want to see people saved. He doesn't want to see that. That's not what he's about. Of course, unless nobody tweaked, I mean, he's evil. You know that. He's an evil so-and-so, he really is. Now, from the enemy's point of view, it doesn't matter what you focus on. Let's say that again. It doesn't matter what you focus on, as long as you're not focused on Jesus. So, let's just take this to the extreme. I guess some of you probably heard that Norwich won yesterday. I heard they won 2-1. Very impressive. Now, to have an interest that Norwich won 2-1 isn't a major problem. But if all of your life is wrapped up in Norwich and Norwich winning 2-1, and that to the detriment of focusing on the Lord Jesus Christ, you've got a problem. And the enemy has achieved exactly what he wants to achieve, to get your focus off of Jesus. Now, dare I say, that the enemy is working not only in this country, he's working in our government as well. Do you know that? And he's also working in a lot of churches as well. Now, you might have picked this up the other week, a couple of weeks ago, festival in Allahabad in India, and it's called the Kumbh Mela, and it's got an estimated 40 million people. Get your head around that. 40 million people. That's over 2/3 of the population of England. 40 million people turn up to one Hindu festival. And they travelled from all over India, from all over the world, all as pilgrims, and they all go there. And what are they going to do? They're going to bathe in the holy river. Actually, there are 4 holy rivers in India. And every 3rd year, they have a Kumbh Mela, and all these people pitch up, and they go to the river, and they bathe in that river, and what they believe is that by bathing in that river, their sins are washed away. They are bathing in some of the most polluted water on the planet. It's polluted with industrial solvents. It's got dead animals floating about in it. It's even got dead bodies floating about in it. It is gross. It's probably got every bug under the sun living in it. And yet they bathe in it, believing that their sins are washed away. Do you think they might be just ever so slightly deceived? Do you think? If you look at John 7, verses 37 to 39, this is a scripture you'll all know, because it says, this is Jesus speaking, and he says, "Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. Streams of living water will flow from within him. So we're not having to go and get ourselves sopping wet in some filthy river. We have got the Holy Spirit living within us, flowing through us, cleansing us. We're squeaky clean without getting in a river. That is good news, I have to tell you, because I don't do cold water. Now, I feel sorry for those Hindus. I really do. Because they are passionate about this Kumbh Mela thing. They're passionate about it. But they're totally, completely deceived. Totally. In Saudi Arabia, they have a similar thing. It's called the Hajj. This happens every year. So now it's an annual pilgrimage. All the Muslims pitch up from all over the world, and they're got to do it once in their lifetime, at least once in their lifetime. And they go to Mecca, and they go round and round, and they go up and down the hills and all this sort of rubbish. And they're passionate about that. And they have a beating the devil festival. They do. But doing that pilgrimage, traipsing all round the hills, walking round and round, does that get Muslims to heaven? No. Doesn't do it. It doesn't cut it. Thinking about it, they have to do prayers 4 times a day. Does that get Muslims to heaven? No. They might as well walk round Tesco's 4 times hailing the great Tesco for all the effect it's going to have. 0 effect. But do they know it? No, they don't. They don't know it. They're passionate about their religion, but they don't know the Lord Jesus. They haven't got it. Common thread running right through the Kumbh Mela and the Hajj is that people are trying to reach God by works. They're obeying man-made rules to reach God. That's what they're doing. They're trying to get there, and it's man-made rules that are doing it. But all the bathing in filthy rivers and walking round and round and climbing up and down hills, it ain't going to do it. There's only one way. There's only one way. John 14, verse 6 says, this is Jesus speaking, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Got it? Let's go that again. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father. No one comes to the Father except through me. Can Jesus make it any plainer? No one equals no one. There's no shortcut. It's the only way. Now, you don't have to go to India or to Saudi Arabia to find people that are blinded to the truth as well. I dare say you know, I'm sure I know, a good few people that are good people. That they don't hurt anybody, they don't cause any bother, they're not stroppy and miserable. They might be on a Monday, but mostly they're not stroppy and miserable. But they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't know him. They're just like that socket down there, disconnected, and to all intents and purposes, useless. Because what's happening is they can't be used in the way that they were designed to be used. Because God designed them to be connected with them. So that when you're connected with them, we put a plug in, you can connect to other people. That's the way it was designed. That's what it was all about. Yeah? And if you ain't connected, useless. Yeah? Now, you know people like that, and I know people like that. And I am so, so, so sorry for them. I really am. I mean, I was a right pear drop 30-odd years ago, because I didn't realise. Penny hadn't dropped with me. 32 years ago. And then finally the penny dropped. And I thought, what a dodo. What a dodo. You know, you think you're reasonably intelligent. Oh, crumbs. Forget it. Whatever your background, whatever your background, and it doesn't matter whether you're a king or a terrorist or a millionaire or a beggar. It doesn't make any difference. The gospel is still good news. Did you know that? Don't matter what your background is. It don't matter what religious system you've grown up in. Don't make any difference. The gospel is still good news. Because if you think back to the beginning, no one need go to hell. So you might be a terrorist, and you might go around blowing up people, but the gospel's still good news, because you can repent of that sin, and you can be forgiven. And you can still find yourself in heaven. It takes some thinking about, doesn't it? Because you've heard about Al-Qaeda the same as I have. And what they do and the people they kill. You've heard it on the news. I've heard it on the news. We get these Islamists, the militant Islamists. They go around blowing people up. Gospel's still good news, though. Because they can still be rescued. That's about the power of the love of God. That's what that's all about. Yeah? All they need to do is to turn away from their sin accept him and ask him into their lives. And they can have exactly the same security that you have got and I have got. That's all they got to do. Now, the funny thing is that some people seem to think that you kind of got to twist God's arm a little bit to let you in. Because you ain't been quite too good in your life and you've got to take a twist his arm a little bit just to let you in the kingdom. Actually, no. He's desperate to get you in the kingdom. Got to bear that in mind. Think of it from Jesus' perspective. He desperately wants you in the kingdom. He wants you to be with him for eternity. He wants that, yeah? He's not reluctant. He's not saying, no, I'm not going to let them in. No, they haven't passed this test. He's not saying that. He said, I want him in the kingdom. That's why I died for him. I want him in the kingdom. Yeah? That's what it's about. I thank God that I'm in a church where the gospel is preached, where the Holy Spirit is welcome, and where the name of Jesus is revered. I thank God that I'm in that sort of church. And for you lot, I thank God for you lot. I really do. Because you are amazing. I have to tell you, you are truly amazing. Yeah? The way that I see this church minister in so many areas, you are truly amazing. And I thank God for you. But I pray that we don't get sidetracked and distracted by the enemy. Because I've seen churches sidetracked, distracted, focusing on other stuff. You see bags of stuff on the news. This is a bit of a contentious point. But hey, why not? You know, the issue of women bishops. No, it's okay, we're all right. The issue of women bishops. Does it say that in here? Have you found a passage in here that refers to female bishops? No, nor have I. So on that basis, I say, well, it doesn't say so in there, therefore I don't agree with it, end of story, carry on, focus on Jesus. But that's not what's happening in this country, unfortunately. So many people are bound up with an issue like that, that they're not reaching the people that desperately need to hear the gospel. They're too busy squabbling about issues that aren't even in here. It's crackers. It's absolutely crackers. And I thank God that we ain't doing it. If we ever start going down that road, somebody come and talk to me. Because I want to get off. I'm not staying on that bus. Sorry. I'm not having it. Now, do you want the gospel in a nutshell? Well, there it is. Very, very basic gospel in a nutshell. Jesus, Son of God, comes from heaven to be born as a baby from a virgin mother, lives for 30 years until he's crucified on a wooden cross where he dies. He's buried, and after 3 days he rises from the dead and is seen by many people over 40 days. He's taken up to heaven where he sits today, seated at the right hand of the Father, waiting to come back. By his death on the cross, Jesus paid the price for our sin, which is death, and gave us the opportunity to give our lives to him and live with him for eternity. Now, maybe you can do it in shorter thing than that. Maybe you can do it in less words than that. But that's basically it in a nutshell. It ain't exactly rocket science, is it? Is it? I mean, I can understand it. And I'm no rocket scientist. Now, when you look through the gospel, you'll find... Incidentally, if you look at your Bible, if you just pick it up and you look at this side of it, which bit is most worn on your Bible? Which bit is most worn? I'll tell you which bit of mine is most worn. It's the Gospels. You know that. It's the Gospels. Because the gospel, that's all about Jesus and what he did and what he said and where he went. I love it. I really do. I think it's just amazing. I digress. Meanwhile, many healings in the Bible. It was one of Jesus' prime ministries, really. He demonstrated it and then he passed it on to his disciples. Matthew 4:23-24 says that Jesus, now listen to this carefully, Jesus healed every disease and sickness. Every disease and sickness. Every disease and sickness. Have I missed something here? Because to me, that says every disease and sickness. Just because the name of a particular disease isn't written here, doesn't mean that it can't be healed by the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Because under that broad heading of every disease and sickness comes whatever disease or sickness that is. Logical? Seems logical to me. Now, when Jesus then passed on that ministry to his disciples. He passed it on to the first 12, yeah? He passed it on to those guys. But was that as far as it was supposed to go? No, I don't think so. I don't think so. Of course, that doesn't add up. It doesn't add up. He commissioned his disciples to do the same. That's Matthew 10. Let's just find Matthew 10 a second. Somewhere about there-ish. Matthew 10, verse 1. He called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. It's that word again, it's every, okay? So he's passed it on to his first 12. Now, if we go to Matthew 28... should be somewhere around about here. And verse 16. Now listen to this. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." Got that? Teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. He's told those guys to go to heal every disease and sickness. And then to go to make disciples all around the world and to teach them to do, obey everything I have commanded you. Now, following this through logically, that's us. Am I reading that wrong, or is that us? It is, isn't it? It's us. We've been given the authority. We've been given the commission. We've been given the power. We've been given the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to do it by. Yeah? Brilliant. We cracked it, haven't we? We're all on board with this. It's us, folks. We've got to do it. Yeah? It doesn't strike. No, no, I'm sure it doesn't. It definitely doesn't say that. It doesn't say it's an option. Nope, nope. It definitely says we've been commanded to. That's the Great Commission that tells us we got to do it. I think the PowerPoints have caught up with me. Now, one of the consequences of preaching the gospel is that the church grows. At least the church ought to grow. More people coming. And I think over the last few months, we've seen more people coming. I noticed new faces appeared, and I thank God that he brought you here. Brilliant. Praise God for that. I thank God that he's brought you here. But it's not about us having a huge church with hundreds of people. It's not about that. It's about how many more people we can reach with the gospel. Of course, if we've got more here, then we've got more contacts to reach. And if we can reach more people, then there'll be even more people to reach more people. And as it goes along, there's a momentum to it. We get more people saved and more people added to the kingdom. The kingdom of God gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And all the time that's happening, there's less and less people going to hell. What a brilliant system. Anybody would think God designed it, wouldn't they? Don't you think it's amazing? Now, I'm not going to talk an awful lot more about growth. I've got some stuff there, but I don't think so, no. I think I leave it there at growth because it's leaving it with preaching the gospel. Preaching the gospel, responding to the gospel, becoming a Christian, and then doing exactly what Jesus told us to do. That's all it's about. It hasn't got to be any more complicated than that. It ain't got to be more complicated. There's the thing on growth, if you want to have a quick look at it. 3,000 people were baptized and added in one day. Amazing. And after that, the Lord adds daily to their number. And after that, more and more people are added to the kingdom. It's what we want now. It's what we're praying for, isn't it? Yeah? That's what we want to see. It's what we want to see. Now, these people that don't know, these people that haven't got a clue, who's going to reach them? Who's going to go? Us. Us. Do we all agree to that? Because if it ain't us, they ain't going to hear. It's you. It's me. We've got everything we could possibly need. There's nothing else that Jesus can do. Do you know that? He's done it. He said it's finished. He's done his bit. Now it's our turn. So it's up to us to preach the gospel, heal the sick, cast out demons, raise the dead, and make disciples.
Plugged in. Whoa, that's more like it. It's down to us, isn't it? It's our job. He's commissioned us. We got to do it. Right, to sum up. Next one. Here we go. The gospel of Jesus Christ is good news to everybody. We got to share it. The enemy wants to distract the church. We got to be as shrewd as snakes and innocent as doves. The enemy doesn't want us to pray for healing. He wants to keep people in chains of sickness. That is what he wants to do. We should pray for the sick and have faith to believe that they will be healed. Because why would Jesus tell us to heal him if it wasn't going to happen? Doesn't make sense. And we are to grow up in Christ, speaking the truth in love. That's what we're supposed to do. Yeah? Now, I'm just going to give an appeal this morning. Because there might be one or two of you here that haven't given your lives to Jesus. Might be one or two of you, I don't know. And if that's the case, I want to give you the opportunity this morning of giving your life to him, of accepting him as your Lord and Saviour. My appeal to you would be, if you don't want to do that today, why on earth not? What possible reason is there not to? It's what you were designed for. It's what God wants for you. It means that you're becoming part of the kingdom of God himself. And it means that you will have a certainty for eternity. It means that you will live with him forever. No pain, no suffering, no sickness, no disease, no illness. It's a win-win situation. Was it somebody said? So if you're not a Christian today and you want to become a Christian today, will you come and see me after, please? I'd really appreciate that. I'll give you a little booklet, I'll lead you in a prayer, and before lunchtime today, you can be in the kingdom of God. And I would love to see that. I really would. For other people here today, I can't walk about. For other people here today, you might be a little bit twitchy about sharing your faith with people. You might be a little bit twitchy about praying for the sick. Well, if that's you, I'm going to give you the opportunity to come up here in a minute and I'll just pray for you en masse, yeah? Because I want to see every single one of us released into doing that. To be able to share the gospel. You've had it in a nutshell. It's not rocket science. You can do it. And you can pray for the sick as well. Why? Because Jesus said, do it. Got it? Okay. We got, what is it now? I don't know. About 12:15. A couple of minutes. If you want me to pray for you this morning, to have courage to go out and preach the gospel, to heal the sick, come up here now and I'll pray for you. I'm not going to hang about here for weeks. Just come up and do it now. Got it? Anybody want that? Well, I don't like it when I can't walk about. Brilliant. Anybody else? Come on. Come on. Do you want to see people saved and added to this church? Anybody else? Come on, stop messing about. Don't be shy. It's an half awkward when you can't get around, doesn't it? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Good idea, Dad.
One, two, three, four. One, two, three, four. Are you receiving me?
Brilliant, brilliant. Right, anybody else before we pray? Anybody? Yeah, come on, come on, come on. Super job. Even a small person here. Brilliant. Perfect. Anybody else? Okay. And everybody else that's not up here, I want you to pray as well. Okay? Yeah, Father God, I just thank you for these dear, dear people, Lord, with hearts to share your gospel, to share your truth with those that are unsaved. Father God, I just thank you for these dear people. I pray, Lord, that you will give them courage. I will pray that you will give them the words to say. I pray that you will give them the openings to walk into, doors that will open for them to walk through, to share the truth of your gospel. And I pray, Lord, for these dear people, for an anointing to touch the sick and see them healed. Father, I pray that they will see people saved as saved and people healed as they lay their hands on them. Lord, I ask that by this time next week, these dear people will have had the opportunity to share the truth of the gospel and to pray for the sick to be healed. And I pray, Lord, that there will be fruit from that ministry. I pray a blessing on them now. And Lord Jesus, I pray that you would go with them and you would go with their families into whichever situation, wherever they go in this coming week, that you would be with them in power. Lord Jesus, bless them now, I pray, in your glorious name. Amen.